report's going to be called 13-23-00114-CD-LLC versus the state of Texas.
Mr. Presiding Justice, and may it please the court. The exercise of personal jurisdiction over Google on the facts of this case, which is a case that arises from alleged misrepresentations and omissions that were crafted outside of Texas and were at most delivered electronically to users in Texas, does not comport with the constitutional protections of the Due Process Clause to which Google is entitled. The trial court's denial of Google's special appearance should be reversed. Now, I don't intend to speak much on general jurisdiction. The state obviously pled both bases for personal jurisdiction in this case, general jurisdiction and specific jurisdiction. But as to general jurisdiction, the state essentially conceded its pleaded ground for general jurisdiction by not arguing it in its opposition brief before this court. Instead, it pivoted to a new theory of consent based on the United States Supreme Court's Mallory decision, but that is both flawed procedurally because it's not pled anywhere in the operative pleading, in the operative petition, and it's substantively wrong, as we explained in our brief. So unless the court has questions about general jurisdiction, I intend to proceed directly to specific jurisdiction.
No, I'm guessing that'll be a question for the state and whether they actually did it and that they pled it and announced the claim that you consented to it. But that'll be a question for them. But I do have a question about, do you concede that Google purposefully availed themselves and that it's just the contacts themselves that don't relate to the litigation at hand?
No, and it's an important distinction that you're asking about, Justice Tiarina. There are certain ways in which Google absolutely purposely availed itself of Texas. A perfect example is brought up by my colleague on the other side. Google hires employees in Texas. If there were a claim that Google had discriminated against one of those employees, no doubt Google had purposely availed itself of Texas as to that employee. But when you ask the question of purposeful availment, this gets to our point that we make in the brief, that this panel should start with the relatedness inquiry first before proceeding to purposeful availment, because there are undoubtedly numerous contacts that Google has with the state of Texas. But looking at all of those contacts runs the risk that the panel and makes the sliding scale mistake that was rejected in Moki Mac and in Bristol Myers. And what I mean by that.
But you put your products and services into Texas purposefully, don't you? I mean, you're sending them out there, including the software and hardware.
Certainly.
And you're reaping a benefit from that?
Certainly. So if as we said, if, for example, if Google's Pixel phones exploded, there would be a strong case for personal jurisdiction related to that phone explosion. Or to take the LG Chem case. Right? If the batteries that were in the Pixel phone were problematic, you've got a pretty good claim for personal jurisdiction.
If it happened in Texas.
If it happened in Texas. But that's not this case. And what makes the difference in this case is about omissions and alleged misrepresentations. And the case law is uniform. And we have this, we list the cases in our bench exhibits that we provided to the court, particularly bench exhibit page 10. Uniform case law says that misrepresentations and omissions that are crafted outside of Texas, that are delivered into Texas by electronic means, do not satisfy the relatedness inquiry.
And are you basing that on the, and I forget the name of the case, but the one sliding scale case?
So there's a number of cases, Your Honor. Moki Mac.
And the state seems to believe that their case or their cause of action fits into all the different types of jurisdiction. My recollection is sliding scale, stream of commerce, the plus factors. But then they go on to say that causal relationship is no longer needed because of the holding in Ford. So how do you explain that?
The 3 points on Ford. One, and the easiest, Ford says it does not apply to internet cases. Full stop. That's footnote 4. Nowhere does the state deal with that footnote. So as much as Ford might say things about a products liability case with physical products, very helpful in that context, that's not this case. Internet delivery of cases, footnote 4, they say it very clearly. The state has no answer to that. Second, the Texas Supreme Court has at least twice discussed whether or not Ford overrules the Moki Mac standard or implies some other different standard than Moki Mac. But the court has said, we're not going to engage in that question yet. And in fact, the question was whether Moki Mack was not too strict, but whether it was too loose. That was how it was phrased in both Luciano and in Volkswagen, whether it was too loose of a standard as opposed to too strict of a standard. But the case law from this court, from the Texas Supreme Court, says it's the prerogative of the Texas Supreme Court to overrule Moki Mack. It's not this court's prerogative to look at Ford and say, well, Ford says it doesn't apply to internet cases, but this is an internet case and we're going to apply it anyway. But the third and most important point about Ford is Ford says that even if you don't have to have the but-for causation, the arising from prong of the relatedness test, the relatedness still has to have real limits because not everything can go. That's the language that Justice Kagan used in Ford. And the one case that we have that either side has cited that talks about what that means in the context of internet companies that are indifferent to wherever a user is the very recent Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case, the Briskin versus Shopify case. And we submitted that to your honors as supplemental authority because it came out in late November of last year. And in that case, the argument was that the plaintiff made was, look at all of the contacts that Shopify has with California. It's got a store there, it has a distribution center there, it has 80,000 customers there, it services so many people there. And the unanimous Ninth Circuit responded, that can't work, that butterfly effects theory of jurisdiction, which is that all of these business contacts that you see with the state means that it's somehow related to the specific action that is being challenged.
I think the state relies heavily on the data center in
Midlothian.
Yeah. And that the data collection itself is the crux of their cause of action. And that if you're in Texas, that it's possible that that data collection that you're doing on a single person in Texas could all happen in that one collection center. That makes it related to Texas.
So I have several points to respond to that with Your Honor. The first and most important is that any allegation about the Midlothian data center is not in the petition. Those are briefing arguments that are made by counsel. Take a look at petition paragraph 5. And this is, we actually quote the entire that entire paragraph, and it is in the excerpt is on bench exhibit page 6. That is literally the only paragraph in the entire amended petition that talks about Google's contacts with Texas. If you go through that petition and did a word search and replaced the word Texan with Oklahoman or user in Texas with user in Oklahoma, that still would be the only paragraph that talks about Texas. And that language only says that the Midlothian data center facilitates Google's products and services. Says nothing about specific data collection about users. But even if you were to assume that's true, even assuming that that allegation, which is what they're bound by, they don't get to add to that under the undisputed Stewart case. They don't take issue with the rule that was established or discussed by the in-bank court in Stewart that you can't supplement your jurisdictional allegations via briefing. You get what you have in the petition. And if they wanted to say more, they could have amended. They didn't. But even if you were to assume that data collection occurs through the Midlothian data center, this case is not about data collection. First, is there any allegation in the petition that data collection itself is unlawful? There is none. There is none. If Google had properly, in the state's mind, disclosed everything that the state thought it should have disclosed about Google's data collection practices, there is no claim. That distinguishes it from Volkswagen, right? Because Volkswagen, the software itself was illegal. It was trying to get around Texas law. It did get around Texas law. And if mentally thinking about it, if Volkswagen had surreptitiously gone to every one of its owners with a diesel and targeted them and said to them, we're gonna give you software that gets you around Texas environmental law, and the user said, we're good with that. Signed a document, says we understand and we're good with that. It's still unlawful. The state, the problem with the state is they had the exact opposite scenario. And so this case is not about data collection because that's not the operative fact.
The state's not claiming it's unlawful either.
No, they're not.
And in fact, some people don't don't turn it off purposely because they like targeted ads.
I drove down here, and it was very helpful to have location services on so I didn't get lost on the way down from Houston. Absolutely.
Now, I know some of the allegations are with regards to, and I'm curious of how they work with the allegations work with non-Google products, but that if you get a Google Pixel phone, it comes with a suite of Google applications.
Sure.
And my question is, can you get a Google phone and not use any Google applications? Can you refuse to use those applications and download Safari, Edge, MapQuest, if that still exists, or any other thing, and not use any of the Google applications?
So I want to be careful because I don't want to commit in the sense of like an admission as to how it precisely technically works. Though my understanding is, Your Honor, that you could buy an Android phone, not have a Google account, and have limited functionality, but still be able to call. But you wouldn't have a lot of the suite of the features because you need to have a Google account.
And the reason I ask that is if someone were to purchase the phone, would it be connected to use the, because it's similar to Volkswagen. You know, there were two cases in Volkswagen. One didn't survive a specific jurisdiction because it was the initial tampering. Mm-hmm. The second one was the aftermarket tampering, where then they knew the Texas or the cars were in Texas and every other jurisdiction. They knew exactly where they were.
Yep.
And then they reached out and touched them,
yep,
knowing that they were in Texas. Here, if they have the phone and you have to use those apps, then I think it's more credible to the state's argument that they're shoving those things. I think there's a quote from Volkswagen about the shovel down in Texas. But then you're having to use those things and you have no choice.
So two responses.
Because that's the other problem, the unilateral access to the third party. You know, it's us, we want it. We just say yes. And if they want it, they say yes. If they don't want it, they say no.
And there's no allegation in the petition that the users could not actually turn off those services. That what the allegation is that Google didn't tell the users enough information or give them all the location.
They claim it's possible, but it's difficult.
Yes, but that is a very different thing than saying that you have to give up your location information in order to use the Google phone. It may be difficult. There may be a claim that because it was difficult, that's a violation of the DTPA. But again, difficulties, omissions, misrepresentations that occurred outside of or outside of Texas are not sufficient for specific jurisdiction. And it's that important distinction that makes all of the difference for purposes of the relatedness prong of jurisdiction. In fact, as I was saying, the Moki Matt case dealt with representations out of Texas into Texas. The Kelly case that sets up the burden shifting standard dealt with representations made and allegedly made in Texas, but the Supreme Court said there, those allegations don't even survive the first prong because there's no allegations as to where the representations were made, who made them, where they were made. It just said, we received misrepresentations, said the Texas company, not sufficient. And I invite you to look at paragraph 5 of their operative pleading. The operative pleading contains literally one sentence that tries to establish the relatedness prong. Now, this court has held in the utility trailer case that they have to plead facts. All they plead are conclusions. But the conclusion that they plead is, one, that their claims arise from many, but not all, of Google's contacts with Texas. Now, you ask yourself, which ones? I don't know. State doesn't tell us. And that's a real problem under the Kelly case, because the Kelly case tells us that Google's burden is to rebut the facts that are alleged to be jurisdictional in the petition. What contacts does Google need to rebut? We don't know. So our argument is, at first, the relatedness prong doesn't even pass the initial pleading burden. But even if it did, because this is an omission and misrepresentation case, and the undisputed evidence is that the omissions, the misrepresentations, allegedly, of course, were all done outside of California. Outside of Texas. All of the settings that related to the data capture were done and crafted outside of Texas. There is literally nothing about the actions here that distinguish Texas from any other state. A user could buy the same phone, use the same Chrome browser, and be in Oklahoma or Arkansas or Louisiana, and the exact same claim could be brought. And that's not enough for specific jurisdiction. I see my time has expired, so unless the court has other questions, I'll reserve.
Thank you.
May it please the court. This case isn't about California. This case is about Texans in Texas who are using Google software on their phones, software that says that Google is not collecting their location data or their web traffic data. While in reality, Google is actually collecting that data and then sending it to a data center in Midlothian, Texas. Google then takes that data and then sells it to advertisers so that they can peddle their wares in Texas to Texans. These facts and more were alleged in our pleadings. They are supported by the evidence below, and they establish personal jurisdiction over Google here in Texas. Now, according to the Supreme Court's Texas's recent case in Volkswagen, there are three requirements for exercising specific personal jurisdiction. Purposeful availment is the first one. The second is that the claims that have been alleged arise from or relate to the defendant's contacts with the forum. And the third is that the exercise of specific personal jurisdiction comports with traditional notions of fair play and due process.
And I think the second problem is the one that we're most concerned with, or at least I'm most concerned with, the relatedness of the cause of actions to their contacts. We asked some questions from Google, and I think you heard them. And how do the privacy of this, the disclosures and the privacy of this relate to the cause of actions that you're claiming? I think that's the big question.
Your Honor, the way that the contacts that Texas has with Texas relate to the claims all circle around the phone and what happens with the phones or the Google products that have Chrome on them or have settings where you can turn on and off location data. So when you open up
there's a lot of allegations regarding the contacts. So the fact that they have an office in Dallas and Austin, that's not related to the causes of action here, is it?
With regard to their offices in Dallas and in Austin, we've alleged that they have programmers there that produce updates, program updates to the phones, and that they push out to the phones, and that those updates again don't change anything about the phones that basically remove the misrepresentations. And the misrepresentations are on the phones themselves. So when you open up your settings and you click location services off or location data off, and there's a little toggle thing and it toggles from on and then it says off. That is a misrepresentation right there on Google software that your data is not being collected.
And that's because some of the other apps that are running collect data.
Because the other apps, Google's apps, are collecting data.
Because you have to go and turn those off as well.
You do, yes.
And it can be done.
It can be done, it's complicated, and we've pled, and there, I believe in evidence, that we provided to the trial court, that knowledge of this is not very common. And again, this is difficult. I mean, the average user, when he opens up this phone and turns location data off, he's going to believe that his location tracking data is off. And the same thing goes with the incognito tab. The fraud is literally in the name of the incognito mode or incognito tab. Incognito. And then you see this little spy guy when it opens up.
So you don't turn off the tracking of the master switch and you go with the incognito mode. They're not tracking some things, but they're tracking other things. Is that the allegation?
They are tracked. So the assertions in the incognito mode or the incognito tabs, that they are not collecting your web traffic usage. Now, the websites you go to might be, they do say that, but that Google is not. But in reality, they are. And in, for Texans, that data is then collected, that's transmitted from the phone to the Midlothian data center. Now,
I'm
sorry, John.
Do they actually go through? Does everyone actually go through Midlothian, or is it just an idea that maybe some of them do, or?
Your Honor, the with regard to a couple of things in response to that. First of all, with regard to whether we pled anything about the Midlothian data center or not. Rule 120 alpha of the Rules of Civil Procedure say that the court looks through with regard to considering a special appearance, looks to not only the pleadings, but also the evidence provided during the response to the special appearance and the consideration of it. And we can, in setting Stewart aside, and also set, and I know this case, this court had a recent case, Handum, that decided this issue about what do you look to find the allegations. Setting all that aside, Texas satisfied Rule 120 Alpha, because if you look at the evidence that was attached to our response, which is, again, under the rules, can be considered, you will find at in the third supplemental sealed clerk's record at page 194, a Google vice president talking about the Midlothian data center and describing how, and saying that, acknowledging that yes, the data from Texas, because it is the closest data center to most Texans, that goes there. And so we've alleged that in the record. Now, in regard to its relatedness to all the, I mean, it's obviously it's a contact that's related to the fraud that we've alleged against Google. So that's number one, because that's where the data goes to. But the fraud is basically completed when the data is transmitted off the phone. So the data could be transmitted to the moon. The fact of the matter is that when you turn off the location services on your phone, it says off, or when you use an incognito tab, you think you're going incognito to go, you know, purchase your wife's birthday present. But in reality, Google is still collecting that data and then transmitting it off the phone, even though they have represented that they are not doing so.
And should we treat the people differently who purchased non-Google phones because they're Gmail and some of the other things that Google owns, because it was their unilateral action that pulled the Google devices onto theirs. I understand the Pixels come or the Android phones come with preloaded software that are Google, but the other people, they're the ones who went out there to get those things.
No, Your Honor, you should not discount those actions either, and for a couple of reasons. So, first of all, my friend on the other side said that Ford doesn't apply because it says it doesn't apply to internet cases. This is not an internet case. The software on the phone is physically present in the phones. It's not somewhere in some sort of ether. It's here in Texas, and the misrepresentations are done here in Texas, and this is important. Now,
but so the misrepresentation is in the privacy policy itself, correct? It's just the policy saying we're not going to do that.
That is an additional misrepresentation, Your Honor. So in addition to the location services tab toggle and the incognito tab and incognito mode. Now, in answer to your question about these consumers that have purchased non-Google phones and downloaded this suite of apps from Google onto their phones, is that fortuitous or not? Well, Ford squarely answers this question. In Ford, it talks about how, you know, Ford Motor Company, the way that it advertises across the United States is that it wants a car in every driveway. Well, the way that Google advertises, and they're a global corporation like Ford, is that they want one of their phones or a phone with their software in every pocket and every purse. And they want it in that pocket and in that purse. Why? Because their entire business model is selling data from people who have their products with their software in their pockets. And the best data are those that, you know, reveal a user's preference when they don't think that they're being watched. So Google, so that is the entire business model of Google, and all of the contacts.
You don't disagree with the counsel for Google that it's not illegal, it's not an unlawful act to track. Some people want it.
Well, I mean, Your Honor, in regard to consumers who say, yes, you can track my data, no, that in and of itself is not illegal, and in fact, that is, by the way, another contact that kind of demonstrates purposeful availment of Texas, the forum. But when you turn off the location data, and we have absolutely alleged this, when you turn that off and then you represent to the user that you are not collecting this data, and then you nonetheless have the phone, through the software you put on the phone, transmit that data, that's unlawful. That's an unlawful misrepresentation, it's unlawful fraud under the DTPA. And it's actionable in Texas courts. So before I go through some more of the analysis regarding the three requirements for specific personal jurisdiction, I do want to comment on a few things that my friend on the other side said during his argument. First of all, Google wants to put the purposeful availment analysis second, and look at relatedness first. And I understand we talked about relatedness first in this context. But purposeful availment is first for a reason, because if there are no contacts with the forum, there can't be any relatedness. These are two separate requirements, and while they're co-equal, they go in a certain order for a reason. Additionally, Mokimac had been brought up and was briefed heavily in Google's briefing and was discussed in their argument. Mokimac says that relatedness, that it doesn't adopt the but-for cause test or even a causal test. What it says is that the contacts have to be substantially related to the claim that's been brought. And again, as the Texas has alleged, everything that Google does in Texas is connected to gathering this data, to include the fraudulently obtained data. Everything. The server farm or the data center in Midlothian, Texas, where they store the data, the phones, the software on the phones, the employees that maintain the data center, all of these things are about collecting this data so that they can profit off of it and sell it to advertisers who can then target the users of these phones and computers with ads based on their preferences. Also, Google pointed to paragraph 5 of our live pleading and said that was the only time we discussed relatedness. Frankly, under Kelly, this court looks at the facts, not magic words. And when you look at the facts that have been alleged in the pleading, and when you look at the facts that have been presented in evidence, which again, under Rule 120A, it can be considered by the courts. The relatedness between all of Google's contacts and their fraud is blindingly apparent.
One question, because I don't have time, so I don't have much time here left. What counsel mentioned early on that with regards to general jurisdiction, that the state has abandoned claim, and with regards to them basically at home in Texas, but now you're saying they consented. Is that a correct statement?
Your Honor, the state has not abandoned its argument on general personal jurisdiction. However, we believe that deciding this case more narrowly on specific personal jurrisdiction, just because of how pervasive their contacts are.
That's
correct, Your Honor. Yes, but the case law in that is new case law, and the state thinks that deciding it under specific personal jurisdiction, which is a well-trod path, can be straightforwardly accomplished here, given their pervasive contacts with the states, given the substantial relationship between those contacts and the fraud that they're committing on Texans here in Texas. Correct, Your Honor. Texas is not, with respect to the relevant facts in this case, Texas is not in privity with Google and with respect to those forum selection clauses. Texas is enforcing Texas's law in Texas courts. That's the point of the Texas courts. And so the smoke screen, this red herring with these forum selection clause, argument, it's just that. It's meant to distract from the main point, which is that Google has not only purposely availed itself of the state for a profit, has used those contacts in the state where it's seeking a profit to fraudulently obtain data from Texans. Now, Your Honor, we talk about it in the briefs, and Google contests it, the third requirement for the exercise of specific personal jurisdiction, that it comports with notions of fair play, traditional notions of fair play and substantial justice. And because I'm going to talk about that a little bit, I'm not going to belabor it because it's fairly well brief. But particularly given your question about forum selection clauses, I do want to touch on this. The general rule that's articulated in Guardian Royal, the Supreme Court of Texas's case, Guardian Royal, is that, quote, the interest of the forum state and the plaintiff will justify even a severe burden placed upon the non-resident defendant. And given Google's size and sophisticated activities in this state, there's no reason to depart from that general rule. And then in Volkswagen, the Supreme Court's case from last year on personal jurisdiction, specific personal jurisdiction, the Supreme Court pointed out that Texas has not only the ordinary interest of a private plaintiff in adjudicating a dispute in a convenient forum, but also a strong interest in protecting its regulatory scheme. And the regulatory scheme here is one that is meant to protect Texans from fraudulent activities, like the activities that Google has through its software, which is physically present in Texas, on phones that are physically present in Texas. Okay, it's fraudulent activity that Google's perpetrating every time that someone opens up their phone and toggles location services off or opens up incognito mode. And one last point. This court can also find sufficient factual allegations throughout Texas's petition of everything we've discussed today. And of course, in the evidence in the third supplemental sealed clerk's record. But most particularly in paragraphs 5, 8, 46, 129, 141, and 158 of our live petition. And again, this court can also look at the evidence attached to our response under Rule 120A. So unless this court has any further questions, Texas requests that this court affirm the trial court's denial of Google's special appearance.
Five minutes, Your Honor. I'll take as much as you give. Mr. Presiding Justice, and may it please the court. I think the most important point that the court should focus on is the agreement by my colleague on the other side that underlying data capture is not unlawful. And I would point the court's attention to the 11500 Space Center case. It was cited in our briefs, which talked about misrepresentations made in Utah that came into Texas. And part of the argument that the plaintiff made in that case is, well, there was other conduct that was going on in Texas. And the response to that by the Houston court, the 14th court, was that those representations do not relate to the claim. As they said, the Texas linked evidence relied upon by plaintiff pertains only to defendant's non-tortious conduct. These forum conducts are not the operative facts of the litigation and therefore are not contexts that will support an exercise of specific jurisdiction. That data collection is lawful, we all agree on, means it's not an operative fact. What is the operative fact are the representations and omissions. Now, what's interesting is that we hear in argument for the first time that really the representations are the settings themselves. You push a button, and that's a representation by Google that there are no other buttons that you have to push. But I invite the court to look at what the state actually said in its brief. Look at page 13 and 14 of its the amended brief. And what do they tell you? They tell you that it's Google's location, that quote, Google maintains a location history page that purports to allow users to disable location tracking. And Google represented to users, quote, with location history off, the places you go are no longer stored. The state, in describing its own petition in the briefing, is actually accurate as to what its claim is. Its claim is pointing to web pages that Google maintains. As Your Honor pointed out, Google's privacy policy is then described on the bottom of page 13. And then they talk about the splash screen going on to page 14 of the brief on the incognito mode. Those are the representations. Those are the omissions. Now, obviously, our position is those were not misrepresentations. There was nothing misleading about it. But the fundamental point is that's what this case is about. And you heard nothing from the other side that says anything about those misrepresentations or omissions occurred in Texas. People received them in Texas. And so you hear an argument that the phones were preloaded with the misrepresentations. One, there's literally no evidence of that in the petition or the record. Their own allegations say that users had to go see the location history page, that they had to open up the Chrome browser and then choose to use incognito before they got that representation. So all of the argument about where the representations were made outside of Texas. Finally, the state says, well, you can just look at all of the evidence. You can just hunt and peck through the evidence and see what supports our petition. That's not the way the two-step process under Kelly works. Kelly requires the pleading of facts that show a basis for the exercise of jurisdiction consistent with due process, which would mean that the state has to allege relatedness. And the state has a long petition, no doubt about it. But if you read it, it just talks about general practices of Google. The only relatedness allegation is in paragraph 5. And as I said before, the Midlothian Data Center only says it supports Google's products and services. That evidence might exist, and we disagree. Frankly, the evidence says that the data capture might go through the Midlothian Data Center. It doesn't say it does. But even if that were true, that's not in the petition. Google is not obligated to even rebut new theories, new evidence that you can't point to in the petition as the jurisdictional basis. And that's the easy place for this court to go. Read paragraph 5 of the amended petition and ask yourself, what is the relatedness facts? What are the facts that show relatedness? There are none. It's an easy case because Kelly tells you that that is not sufficient. Kelly was a misrepresentation case where there were no factual allegations of misrepresentations being made in Texas. And Kelly said, not good enough. The whole case goes because you didn't even meet the first standard. That's what we have here. And unless the court has anything further, thank you.